1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. Elijah has shown that he is still in this terrible depression. I am the only prophet left. They're trying to kill me too. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They put your prophets to death. I've been very zealous for you, Lord, but it's been useless. This is what Elijah is saying, verse 10 and on. But now God speaks to him. Verse 11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." He doesn't put his arm around Elijah and say, all will be all right. He has some firm, strong words to say to this man. I know people who are cast down in the Lord's work think they need comfort and reassurance and sugar. But God gives backbone here. He gives instruction and how to Elijah. And he does it in a remarkable way. The Lord, the presence of the Lord, is to pass by. It reminds me of Exodus 34, 6 to 7, Moses, God speaking to him and showing him his glory. Now here's Elijah. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, a still, small voice, a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. 1 Kings 19:11 to 13. Clearly, something's going on here of a highly figurative, symbolic nature. But God is speaking to Elijah, and Elijah is getting the message. He's understanding here. He's appreciating what God is saying. Elijah is being cured here of his depression, and God is speaking to him in this symbolic and figurative way. Now, what does it mean? Well, we are not told, but I don't think it's tremendously difficult to work out. You see, the mountain, where is Elijah? He's on Horeb, Sinai. He's just come from Carmel, where God has shown his tremendous vindication and judgment of the false prophets in their teaching, vindicating his own name. Tremendous mountain of judgment and decision. God has sent Elijah to Sinai. Now, he speaks to him at Sinai. Now, Sinai, Horeb, tremendous importance in the history of Israel. It's the place where God met with Moses to give the law, to give the covenant, the Sinai covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the old covenant to Israel. And this played such an important part in the history of Israel. It distinguished Israel from all other people. And it was that temporary covenant until the coming of the seed in the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant of Christ. But what a covenant it was, revealing Christ, speaking of God, the glorious covenant given to Israel. But of course it has no glory in comparison with the glory of the covenant that superseded it, Christ instituting the new covenant when he came, not on Mount Sinai, but on Mount Calvary, on Mount Zion. You see, these mountains are highly symbolic. God is speaking to Elijah here at Sinai. Now, what's all this wind and storm and tempest and fire and earthquake and all that? Well, surely it speaks of judgment. It reminds us of Sinai. If you go back to Exodus 19, verses 16 to 18, if you go on to Hebrews 12, 18 to 21, we have not come to Mount Sinai, that mountain which rages in fire and storm and tempest, the judgmental, the condemning covenant, the condemning mountain. We've not come there, but we have come to Mount Zion. You see, this is what God is saying to Elijah here. Now look, here is this great storm, tempest, fire, earthquake, but I'm not there. I'm not there. Now I was. Of course, he still is in the old covenant. But what he's doing to Elijah here is lifting his eyes, lifting his mind, lifting his heart down the ages, no, down the age rather, down the years, shall I say, down the centuries, to see what? Well, it's what Jeremiah preached. It's what Isaiah preached. It's what Amos preached. Malachi, Zechariah, they all preached it. What did they preach? The glorious coming of Christ in the new covenant. The Lord is not, he's saying here, in the fire, in the judgment, in the earthquake, in the tempest, in the storm. No, no, no. He's in the still small voice. Now, the best commentary on this is John chapter 3, verses 17. For God so loved the world. That's John 3:16. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Carmel was a place of judgment. Sinai was a place of condemnation. But God is saying here, look, there is another time coming. Christ is coming, and it will be a day of mercy and day of forgiveness, a day of gospel offer. And that's the day we live in now. Now, judgment is not finished. It's not finished with Elijah. As we shall see as we go on, immediately more judgment comes. If you read John chapter 3, yes, verses 17 to 18 and 16 and 17 and so on, all these verses speak of mercy, yes, but there is judgment too. Look at verse 18 and verse 36 of John chapter 3, the wrath of God. Oh yes, I'm not saying the judgment is over or the wrath is past, but this is the day of mercy. This is what Elijah is having to see. I am in the condemning covenant, Elijah. I am in the Sinai covenant. But the time is coming when I will be in a greater covenant. Mercy, forgiveness, grace. You see, Elijah appears on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses, Matthew 17, and with Christ. And you remember when Peter wanted to equate the law, the prophets, and Christ? What happened? The cloud came and covered them, and when he opened his eyes again, there was so Jesus only. There is the abiding, the lasting covenant. The day of mercy is coming. Of course, there's judgment in the new covenant, but it is the covenant of mercy and grace and glory, 2 Corinthians 3. So what is Elijah being told here? Listen to me. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at yourself, Elijah. That's the way out of depression. And above all, lift your eyes up and see Christ. Now, Christ is coming in Elijah's day. Now, Christ has come, my friend. Here is the answer to the sinner, the unbeliever. Christ is not creed or confession or church or pastors. It's Christ. It's not rites and ceremonies. It is Christ. And it's the answer to you, brother. It's the answer to you, sister. Whatever your need, Christ is all. Assurance or lack of. Holiness or lack of. Understanding or lack of. Look to Jesus. Oh, that's the gospel I want to preach. I preach nothing but Christ crucified, Jesus as Lord. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That's what Paul said, and I want to say the same. And this is what Elijah has to learn. Look at Christ coming. And it's pictured in this tremendous way in mercy. Oh, there is judgment. And of course, there is a day of judgment to come. But now is the day of mercy. Oh, unbeliever, close with Christ now. While mercy is here, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Look to the Lord. Here is the command and authority of God. And will you listen to it? Will Elijah listen to it? Let me close this discourse Remember, they're just seed thoughts, are just very short discourses. With Isaac Watts' hymn. I know I've read this before and I've repeated it to you, but I know no better hymn or poem to bring home to us the glorious contrast of law and gospel. This is what I think is being said here to Elijah. It's being said to you, my friend, today. Will you listen to it? Will you act upon it? Will you feel it? Will you think it? Will you go in the strength of it? Cursed be the man, forever cursed, that does one willful sin commit, death and damnation for the first, without relief and infinite. Thus Sinai roars, and round the earth thunder and fire and vengeance flings. But Jesus, thy dear gasping breath and Calvary, say gentler things to still small voice. Pardon and grace and boundless love streaming along a Saviour's blood, and life and joy and crowns above obtained by a dear bleeding God. Hark how he prays. The charming sound dwells on his dying lips. Forgive. And every groan and gaping wound cries, Father, let the rebels live. Go ye that rest upon the law, and toil and seek salvation there. Look to the flame that Moses saw, and shrink and tremble and despair. But I'll retire beneath the cross. Saviour, at thy dear feet I'll lie, and the keen sword that justice draws, flaming and red, shall pass me by. Believer, will you listen to the still, small voice, the gentle whisper of God in mercy to you now? Will that release you from your sadness and lowness, trusting God's mercy? Unbeliever, will you come to Christ for mercy now? Or will you wait and hear his voice of judgment and condemnation forever? Come to Christ for mercy now, I plead with you. Amen.